Today's date is January 28th, 2010. We're at the Amelia Island Museum of History. The following interview is being conducted as part of the Amelia Island Museum of History's Veterans History Project in partnership with the Library of Congress. We are interviewing Charles N. Corbett. Date of birth, December 25th, 1945. Place of birth, Keene, New Hampshire. My name is Robert Hamer, and I will interview Mr. Corbett on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. Assisting me is Don Hill, who will operate the recording equipment. During the course of the interview, we'll be discussing the following subjects. What was your period of service? During which conflicts did you serve? What was your rank? And where did you serve? But first, let's start, Charlie, by you telling us what was going on in your life when you were drafted back in March 1969.
In March of 69, I had just gotten out of Florida State University, and my good friend, the draft board, had decided that he gave me a choice that I could either go in January, February, or March. Mm-hmm. So I told him it's warmer in March, so I'll go in March. So I was basically out of college and had no more deferments. So they needed people. Mm-hmm. My draft board gentleman was named Rudolph Mills, and Mr. Mills decided that I would go in March, so therefore I went.
Was there a lottery system back there at that time?
No.
Not at that time, so lost an institute.
Either the next year or the year after that. So not in 69. I think 70 or 71 the lottery system came.
Gotcha. So you got your notice, and did you have much time before you had to go, or did you have to go right away?
No, I was home. I was home in January.
Okay.
So he gave me 3 months.
3 months to get.
So I said March. It gave me 3 months to enjoy life here.
Very good.
So I went, but anyway.
Very good. Where did you go to basic training?
Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay.
A little place called Sand Hill.
Sand Hill.
Aptly named.
Did you enjoy that area there, or was it a tough camp? Or?
Sand Hill, a lot of sand. Let's get up at 6. I mean, let's get up at 4 so we can get to the rifle range at 6, and then it opens at 8. So we were sitting way 2 hours.
Any recollections from basic training at all? Anybody stand out? Any sergeants or drill sergeants?
We had a drill sergeant that was a Vietnam veteran named Sergeant Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And his favorite thing was to take our company, and we would get out and run around the company yard, and he'd like to have us singing songs and run around the company area. Impress all, especially on Sunday when we impressed all the other mothers and fathers coming in to visit their sons.
About how many men did you have in your company at the time? Recall?
I think a company's 120.
Something like that.
4 platoons, I think that's the way it worked.
You have 3 or 4 platoons. Back then, you were a college grad and as a draftee. Was there a good mix of college grads?
We had 3 people in our company that had been to college.
Okay.
Me and then there's 2 others. One guy had been 2 years, and one guy was also a grad, and that was it, out of 120 people.
Gotcha.
Most were not very, as you would think, for draftees. Intelligence was not a prerequisite for them getting in.
Good. So where did you go to advanced infantry training after that? Did you stay there for your next day?
No. I went to Fort Lee, Virginia.
Okay.
To what they call transportation school. I don't know. I guess that's what it was. Quartermaster, I guess, is Fort Lee, Virginia. Transportation is Fort Eustis.
Okay.
So it's Fort Lee. Anyway, Fort Lee, Virginia, at a quartermaster school.
Quartermaster school. And what did they teach you there?
That's a good question. What did I do there? I think I went to...
Is that supplies and things like that?
Yeah, it was a supply school, and I wish I could tell you, but I don't remember. Other than we just learned different nomenclature for different
all the
items and that type of stuff.
Sure,
how to run a supply room. I went to night school. They operated it basically. It was 5 days a week, and they operated it. You had a day class and a night class.
Really,
we went to school from 4 in the afternoon to midnight.
Okay. Did you get the sense that they were trying to run a lot of soldiers, a lot of troops through there?
At that time, that's exactly what they were doing.
Exactly.
They were trying to get as many people trained as to send over to the old country.
Sure. Now, when you were in basic, did they give you any opportunity to select what you were going to go for advanced training for? Did you select coordinates?
They just based on you got needs. Lucky. Most people went to AIT. I'm not sure whether I get the luck of the draw. I went to Fort Lee, Virginia.
Yeah,
because instead of Fort Polk, Louisiana, which is where most of them went,
which was probably what infantry,
advanced infantry, in the swamps of Louisiana.
Yeah, wow.
And that was specific training for another swamp.
Right, Vietnam. Right, right. So you completed your advanced training, and you were ready to become a supply person.
Well, we completed advanced training, and then. In the Army's wisdom, they sent us to the Atlanta Army Depot for 90 days of what they call depot training,
mm-hmm.
which was
a larger supply operation.
Yeah, and that so we went. So our whole company went. They sent us en masse. Our whole company went to Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the name of the town where Atlanta Army Depot is. Can't think anyway.
Were there other big Army depots in the country too at the time, or was Atlanta B1?
That's a good question. I think there was Atlanta was pretty much the depot for the East, and I'm sure there was one out west somewhere, probably in California,
sure.
But I don't know that. I don't remember.
Sure, I'm trying to visualize what that would have looked like, like a large train station kind of a thing or a big one.
Oh, no. Big area. It's a huge area that mostly civilian workers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all your it's a warehouse area.
Right.
But they stored, different Army supply things.
Sure. So
parts for trucks, for instance.
Right.
Uniforms, C and K rations.
Mm-hmm. Weapons.
I don't think no weapons usually ends in a weapons depot. This was not a weapons.
Okay, so it's basically supply clothing, food.
Parts for trucks, communications, all that, but just a huge section of warehouses there. Actually, it's right by the airport southeast of Atlanta.
Hmm.
I still can't think of the name of the town, but anyway.
Sure. So it's like a Costco, but maybe bigger?
Huge area. I mean, many, many warehouses.
Sure.
I mean, you're talking, I don't know how many acres, but quite a bit. But anyway, it was... warehouse after warehouse. And what we did, we were there 90 days, and we would go and work. Now, there's some Army there, and we would go and work with either civilian or what few Army people were there.
Sure.
And we would go and work with them each day,
mm-hmm.
on how the depot system worked.
Right.
You know, filling out forms, requisitions, all this stuff.
How did they transport all this equipment out? Was it by truck?
No. Some truck, obviously.
Airstrip, train?
Well... I mean, Atlanta.
Yeah,
the airport was right there, so I'm not sure.
Could have, yeah.
I think most all the stuff was transported by train.
Gotcha.
As far as I can remember, some trucks, some airplanes, but mostly. I mean, what it basically was a depot that you would supply all the units. You know, say Fort Benning would order stuff out of this depot,
mm-hmm.
and stuff would be sent to Fort Benning, which was an infantry post or Fort Bragg or
wherever.
Gotcha. But it was a working thing. I mean, it was a place they stored basic military equipment, and then when you ordered parts or whatever, the order was filled and shipped out and sent to the different military bases or units, whatever they needed.
Good. What did you do after that assignment? Where did you go from?
I went over the pond.
Okay.
Yeah, in January of 70, went to Vietnam.
Okay, and... What was your assignment there?
We got in country, and being we were sent to a transportation outfit, the 48th Trans Group.
Okay.
And there were two battalions, if I remember correctly, first and second, obviously. We got to the group. They asked if anybody could type. One guy raised his hand and says, okay, you're here. I said, that sounds pretty good. So when we got to battalion headquarters, they said, anybody here type? And I raised my hand. They said, okay, this is your assignment.
Good.
So, group headquarters was better than battalion, but battalion was the second, and I didn't catch on quick. I caught on the second time around.
Good for you.
So anyway, I was stationed there, and I think I was an E4 by that time.
E4 at that time.
So I ended up being a clerk typist at the battalion headquarters,
Great.
To start out with. That was my first first job.
Did you enjoy that? Was it okay? Better than alternatives, I guess.
Well, I could type, and so anyway, it was all right. Mm-hmm. It was all right. I mean, you know, there was nothing.
Do you recall what your duty post was, what location you were in Vietnam?
Actually, we were on main headquarters for the 48th was Long Bend.
Long Bend. Good, good, good. Were you ever at risk in that job there? Could they bombing?
Yeah, we would get some 122 millimeter rockets in there occasionally. Mm-hmm. And they would, what is the name of that? The headquarters for all of Vietnam was located on Long Bend.
Okay.
Not where we were. We were on the side. Long Bend was a big post. Different areas of it had different things to it. And we were located right along, I think it was Highway 1, for obvious reasons. What we did, our main job was to supply everything in, I guess it's 3 and 4 Corps. I think it done it go 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm
familiar with
so,
that. Okay. 3 and 4 Corps, from everywhere from the highlands down to the Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all the trucks that supplied all of that area, everything. Flatbeds, refrigerated, any kind of supplies that were in. I mean, we supplied 25th Infantry, mm-hmm. Big Red 1, 11th Armored Cav. I'm trying to think. Basically, any 173 Brigade Infantry.
Mm-hmm.
We supplied all of those. All of those people.
And when you say supplied, you provided them with transportation? Or
no, providing with supplies.
With supplies.
Supplies would come into, let's see, what's the port? The port is Saigon. Whatever the port of Saigon is a different name for
okay.
it. The supplies would come into there. Our trucks would pick everything up.
Gotcha.
Take it out to the different bases.
Gotcha.
I mean, the I'm trying to think of some of the places. For instance, I think the 11th Armored Cav was in Cu Chi, which is, you know, out in sticks, and we supplied them. We supplied people in the Delta. I can't remember.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was just trying to the nature of what it is that you were doing.
Yeah.
Did you work long days? Were shifts long? Or were nighttime shifts again? Or?
Yeah, usually you work 6 days a week.
Okay.
Mostly days, you know, I mean, but it depended.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly days, at least in my job.
Sure.
To start with.
Were there any critical supply items that you couldn't get for the troops there at that time? Anything that you...
Good question. This is the way it worked. Is if you were in a transportation outfit like we were, we could get any kind of for trucks, parts for trucks, tires and all this type of stuff. Any of that we could get.
Mm-hmm.
Communication gear we couldn't get because we weren't a communications outfit.
Gotcha.
So what you would do is, if you ordered it, it'd take 6 months. I mean, you didn't need it in 6 months. You needed it right away.
Right.
So we'd go to the commo unit and trade them.
Trade. Yeah.
They had trucks and Jeeps for their commo stuff, but they couldn't get tires and equipment,
right,
parts
right,
and that.
Right, right.
So you'd go to... You'd go to them if you needed communications equipment, which they could get. You'd just go to them and say, I need stuff for my radios, because we had radios. We convoyed everything.
Sure.
And we had radios. That's just what you did. It was pretty much a barter system.
Right.
You know, whatever you needed, that's the way it worked. I mean, that's the way the military works, I mean, for the most part.
Now, over there in Vietnam, were you supplying weapons at that time, weapons and munitions,
no.
Or was that a different kind of...
We supplied ammo.
Ammo.
I guess we supplied weapons. Most of the units already had their weapons.
They come with them, right, sure. But
we supply, of course, ammo, food, you know, whatever, parts for the, you know, whatever. Yeah, pretty much everything that unit needed. Weapons, I don't recall if we, I'm sure there may have been some.
Sure.
But mainly, I know we supplied ammo. Ammo and food, I'd say, would be the biggest thing.
So, as far as ammo goes, too, would it be like the rocket shells or like the law?
Anything. From you know.
Sure.
Let's see, what's the...
M16.
262 for an M16 to artillery shells for the artillery units.
Yeah,
shells. Whatever came in, whatever they needed, we had refrigerated trucks for food.
Mm-hmm.
We had flatbeds to haul. We had the big flatbeds. We would haul like road grader, whatever it took.
Yeah, graders, loaders.
There was a what do you, like a CB outfit.
Right. Yeah, we all.
We would, what do they call it? Whatever they call it.
Combat engineers.
Yeah, combat engineers. I mean, if they needed stuff, equipment, we'd haul that stuff out to them.
Sure.
If it was something new that came in, they'd ordered, came into the port there at Saigon, we'd haul it out to them.
Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. Did you have anybody that you got close to, fellow soldiers that you hung out with and did some things with?
Yeah. I mean, all the, I mean, the different ones around, and be honest with you, I don't.
Nobody you stayed in touch with through the years?
Nobody I stayed. We were in touch there, and once we left, that was it.
Hmm. What about officers or other NCOs? Anybody that inspired you there while you were there, made an impact in your life, made a difference?
There was, when I was in, after I'd been there, I did have one, and I still remember his name. He was a captain. His name was Sennett, and he was from Nevada,
mm-hmm.
and he was pretty squared away guy, probably the only guy over there. Most of them were, you know, they got, the first, when I went down to a, after I'd been a, when I made supply sergeant, I went to a unit, and first commander we had was the next NCO, and his favorite thing was to read comic books in the office. So anyway, he didn't inspire us too much.
Yeah.
I mean, but anyway, that's it.
Yeah, but you did have a captain that did.
Yeah, a captain. He came in, straightened everything. He was the following guy, and he straightened everything out. And we finally got the unit.
Good.
This is when I was with a, I wasn't, like I said, I became a supply sergeant, and then I was with a, they call 506 Transportation Battalion.
About how old were you at this time, Charlie?
Let me think. 70 to 45, about 25.
About 25.
24.
Is that about the average age at that time?
No. 17, 18 was the average age.
Yeah.
And I was old for my age.
Well, you had gone to college first, you know, so you had some years there.
Yeah.
How about the food and the mail, things like that? Anything that you couldn't get, or the, was the food average?
Here's the way the food was. Rice.
Okay.
You had rice for breakfast,
mm-hmm.
rice for lunch, rice for dinner, and if you worked the late shift, you had rice at the midnight meal.
Okay.
So plenty of rice.
Plenty of rice.
You always had rice for whatever you wanted. If you didn't like rice, you were kind of in a bind. And then, of course, we had the usual, I'm not sure what they call them, C rations, K rations, whatever.
K rations at the time, yeah.
Always tasted good. The only thing you would get was spaghetti for breakfast. We had one guy in the unit that liked spaghetti for breakfast, so you could always trade with him.
What about stuff like beer or anything? Did they have any of that? Like a couple of cans of beer or anything?
25 cents a beer.
25 cents a beer.
And what you would do if you wanted a beer, you just go ask for the coldest beer.
Okay.
You never go in and ask for a Budweiser.
Okay, that was always.
Because they may have just put the Budweiser in the cooler.
Gotcha.
And it may be hot.
Yeah.
So you'd ask for a cold beer, and then they knew. But usually, when we were in the rear at Long Bend, those were run by Vietnamese, so they knew.
Sure.
Get a cold beer, or you could be shot.
Where would you go to do this? Did they have like a PX kind of a tent area? I'm trying to imagine.
No, it was a little, what they call a hooch, which would be made out of tin.
Okay.
What they would do was take beer cans, roll them out flat, put them together, and that would be your walls, and then you would have like palm fronds would be your ceiling.
Hmm.
I mean, I can remember times we would go out to deliver supplies and stuff on convoy, and come back, and there'd be a village there where there wasn't a village, you know, maybe 3 days before.
Yeah.
Because these things, they could put them up, you know, like overnight.
Sure.
Tin walls. I mean, it's hot. You don't have to, you know.
Okay.
And the thatched roof.
What about any other kind of entertainment? The movies or anything to relax you guys when you had your time off?
Yeah, when we were in the rear in Long Bend, we had a, let's see, what do you call those? You know what a Connex box is? It's something that they pack equipment in.
Okay.
So we would take a Connex box and you cut. It had doors at one end that you open up. We'd cut a hole, square hole in the other end, put a projection in there, and you'd put up a sheet at the other end, And that showed movies on that. Outdoor, we had the outdoor theater.
Great. Very good. Now, did you control all that, too, as part of your supplies, the movies coming in and out and things like that, or is that a different group?
I'm trying to think. I guess, you know, they had other people that were in charge of movies. I think usually they had one guy, maybe an E4.
Sure.
And that was his job there at battalion headquarters. Mm-hmm. He was the movie man.
Yeah. What about mail? Did you get mail frequently there or infrequently?
Mail. If you're in the rear, you got mail. I don't know about every day. I can't remember now. But we got mail, yeah. We could get mail.
And packages and stuff like that from home?
Could get packages, yeah. Pretty much everything.
Good. Charlie, tell us a little bit about your convoys.
Well, we used to, again, I reiterated that. We supplied everybody in what they call 3 and 4 Corps. And we used to convoy the supplies out to different bases, some in the Delta, some up in on the Cambodian border. And primarily it would be, we'd have a captain in charge who had a Jeep with an M60 on it. Mm-hmm. He'd usually be in the front of the convoy. Normally would have at least one deuce and a half with quad 50, that's 50 caliber machine guns on it. And then usually some type of either another quad 50 in the back or another Jeep with a 60. And then we'd also have, most all the trucks would have a soldier riding shotgun. Mm-hmm. But either primarily a shotgun or an M16. And that's how we convoyed out. And we'd take day trips, which meant we would go out to the base, mm-hmm. leave the supplies, and then come back. We also had night trips in which we would go out to a base, spend the night, and then come back the next day.
Mm-hmm. Did you encounter any skirmishes or anything like that?
Occasionally, we'd have snipers, and then occasionally, I know I can recall one time that we got attacked in which we had our quad 50s opened up on them, and that was the end of them. Hmm. But normally, luckily, I should say, we weren't attacked very often at all. And part of that reason was we went into Cambodia in 70, May of 70.
Right.
And we took the NVA out primarily. Hmm. And they didn't attack the convoys much after that or any of the bases.
Gotcha.
That went from on until, I was there, you know, all of 70. That from May of 70 till November of 70, by going into Cambodia and taking all our supplies out, we primarily weren't attacked on the bases or on our convoys after that.
Very good.
Occasionally, but not near as much as it had been before that.
Any other unusual experiences during the convoys? Anything that you can recall?
This is maybe a little story. When we used to go down to the Delta, of course, is marshland, a lot of rice paddies and that type thing. I can recall we'd come up to a crossroads, and there would be a little Vietnamese boy selling sodas on ice at a crossroads in the middle of the rice paddies. You know, there's nothing within miles of anywhere, but here he is selling sodas with ice. And, of course, you'd stop and get an ice-cold soda.
Yeah. Any idea where you got the ice from?
Of course not. No. I have no idea.
I know.
And he wouldn't be there when you came back.
Yeah.
But the next time, you know, he or somebody else would be there. Or there'd be somebody else at the next crossroads.
Sure.
So we don't know where he got the sodas or the ice, but he'd be there selling them. You know.
Were you guys responsible for bringing back any parts, broken parts, or things like that from the outposts when you go out there?
Yeah, we would take supplies out to them. Anything that they needed to take back, we would bring back to Long Bend and either repair it there or they would ship it to, I think, primarily Okinawa, mm-hmm. maybe the Philippines, either one of those.
What about wounded personnel or dead bodies, things like that? Did you bring any of that back?
No, I think the graves registration people took care of all of that.
Gotcha.
Or they were either, if they were wounded, pretty much they were medevac.
Gotcha. Good. Speaking of medevac and hospital facilities, were the hospital facilities adequate over there? Were they good? Good doctors, nurses?
I think so. I mean, we had right down the road from us was what they call 93rd Evac Hospital. Mm-hmm. And that's where they would medevac a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, right there. I mean, I'm not sure the flying time, but they could get people back in from the field pretty quick. Mm-hmm. You know, patch them up there and then fly them out probably again to Okinawa, Japan. I think Japan, maybe they went to Japan. I'm not sure.
Sure.
Luckily, I never got wounded, so I didn't find out.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Any other experiences while you were over in Vietnam that you want to share? Anything that you can recall?
I think. No, other than that, I mean, it was, you spent your time and then you you got out. You got to be a, after, when you went from 100 days to 99 days, then you became a two-digit midget.
Okay, that was the term.
That was the term. Okay. And then, so anyway, you went to, you got down to that, and then you got real short, what we call short.
Short. Was there any stress along with that? You know, now that I'm getting close and closer, and you get a little bit more worried?
I'll tell you how it worked out. The first month you're there, you're scared as hell because you don't know what's going on.
Right.
The next 8 or 9 months, I guess it's, or 10 months, you pretty much don't give a damn.
Right.
Trying to get through it all, and then the last month. Okay. Last month I was there, I never left. By that time I was supply sergeant, and I never left the base. I stayed right there. And then I think the last couple nights that I was there, they started shelling us again, 122 rockets.
Mm-hmm.
So we would get in the bunkers. And, of course, I'd already been relieved. They'd already had a replacement for me, so we were just there shipping out. So we would get a bottle of Crown Royal and drink a bottle of Crown Royal every night in the bunker while they were shelling us, because they said, hell, if we're going, we don't want to know about it.
Were there any rumors that got started over there that maybe put the fear of you guys, you know, things that you heard about from other companies or other locations in Vietnam that sort of spread? I mean, sometimes a group of soldiers hear things or make up things.
No, I can't recall anything. You always said scuttlebutt, but I don't remember anything that would have, we didn't have anything like the war's ending, you're getting out of here. We never had anything good like that.
So. Right. One other question. While you were there, did you hear about the turmoil that was going on in the college campuses back home? Protests and things like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, was that disturbing to you guys over there at the time you call?
We were there. We had a job to do. We were doing our job, and I don't know whether you had some off time, but we, like I said, we normally work 6 days a week at least. And I guess we felt sympathy for them because we didn't like being there any more than they liked for us to be there.
Okay, but you didn't take offense to it in any way. It was not a war that our country got behind in the United States while you guys were over there serving. And I was just wondering what you might have felt at the time, if that bothered you, personally, or some of the other soldiers, that you can recall.
Well, most everybody, of course, we knew. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to be there. We knew what was going on.
Sure.
We knew about the protests back home. And when I was there in 70, we were drawn down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew basically it was the 1st Infantry Division left while I was there, and they were drawing all the infantry troops out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just there mopping up. So the main deal was, let me get in and get out.
Sure.
And that's what I'm interested in. And let me get by each day.
Sure.
Did
Japan recall at all how many troops might have been there in country while you were there?
Off the top of my head, I'm 150,000.
Something like that.
Maybe 250,000. Yeah. We were drawing down. I think at the height we had 500,000 there.
Yeah. Okay.
And we were drawing down. I know we were drawing down every day. I mean, they were, infantry units were leaving and everybody was leaving, and we were turning more and more stuff over to the Arvins, Army of the Republic of Vietnam.
Gotcha. So you're drinking your Crown Royal, you're getting ready to go home. Tell us about going home. How'd you get home? Would you report?
Well, we got on what we call a Freedom Bird.
Okay.
And you get on that, and I thought everybody'd be cheering, happy, jumping up and down. Everybody's so relieved to get out. There's nothing.
Sure.
Bird took off. We just all sat there and kind of sigh of relief. All the tension, all the stress, and all that had been on you was gone. And we left on a I still remember this. It took me half an hour to get home. Left at 11 o'clock and got home at 11:30.
All the time zones, yeah.
Exactly.
Was it a military transport or a commercial? Military.
Well,
I know the commercial.
Civilian. It was a military charter.
Right.
Civilian.
American Airlines, United
Continental
Airlines. Continental. They all donated our volunteer.
Yeah, we went back through Japan, went to Japan and then to Travis.
Gotcha.
Travis Air Force Base. And,
so that's where
near
you
San Francisco.
You departed from Travis. That was it when you got out? That was your last?
No, I got lucky.
Okay.
I got sent to Germany for 6 months.
Oh, really? Tell us about that. Did in the same capacity supply over there?
Yeah, I was a... I was in supply over there too. I was with the 14th Armored Cav in a place called Fulda, Germany.
Oh wow, okay.
And that was in the Fulda Gap.
Gotcha.
And so anyway, we guarded the Fulda Gap in the with the Armored Cav. I was there 6 months.
That's great. So good duty. More comfortable than Vietnam, I would imagine.
Yeah, cold.
Cold.
I went to a guest house one night. As the German said, I said, "You know, it's cold over here." He said, "No, warmest winter in 20 years." I said, "Well, this is the warmest. I don't want to be here when it gets cold."
So that was good duty. Any memories from that time? Anything? Any?
Just there was a lot of snow.
Okay.
And then we'd have to go out in the field. I mean, we were an armored cav outfit, and when they'd call for an alert, we'd go into the field.
Gotcha.
And stay in these big round tents with the big heaters in the middle.
Sure. Did that require any additional training, Charlie, to be in the Army Cavalry? You were the supply guy?
I was just assigned. They had an opening for my MOS, and
gotcha.
So they assigned me to that outfit. It was, like I said, a little town called Fulda, Germany, and we were on the East German border.
Good.
Which is another thing. You go up to the border, of course, it's one side's, you know, clear, the other side's clear, and in the middle it's all grown up. So I asked the guy that was up there when I first went up, I said, how come they don't mow the middle there? He goes, well, that's where the minefield is.
Yeah.
I said, oh yeah, I guess that's probably why they wouldn't want to mow
it. Stay away from there. Did you, on your time off, did you get to go anywhere that was, you know,
yeah, we used to get there, of course, you know, we used to get 3-day passes.
Gotcha.
We'd go to Cologne, for instance, up on the Rhine, Frankfurt. Frankfurt on Main, I think they say that, which is also on the Main River.
Sure.
Which takes, you know, I was only here 6 months. I didn't have a whole lot of leave time, but I got 3-day passes. Take the train. So you just take the train. Leave in the afternoon, spend the night on the train. Get there the next day, you know, rent a room for one night, and come back the next night on the train.
Sure.
Get there in the morning, go back to the concern and go to work.
Were the locals friendly towards the soldiers?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Some were, some weren't. When we actually, I actually lived in an SS barracks.
Oh.
On a concern. And then, you know, they were probably 4 or 5 foot thick walls. And but it had been an SS barracks.
Wow.
Is where I lived.
Interesting. So how did you get notified you were going to go home? Your orders were cut. And
yeah, orders were cut. Got one of the guys in the supply to take me down to see where we fly out of. I'm trying to think of it. It's still a big air base now. What's the big air base in Germany? I can't think of it.
There's Rhein-Main.
Rhein-Main, that is
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Went to Rhein-Main.
Okay.
Got on the plane, went to where did we fly to? I think Iceland. Went to Reykjavik, Iceland.
Okay.
Flew to Reykjavik and then to McGuire Air Base in New Jersey.
Okay. And that's where you
got out in McGuire. Got out on July the 3rd. My first full day was July the 4th, which I thought was appropriate. You know, Freedom Day.
Freedom Day.
That was my first day out of the military, July the 4th.
How were you treated when you got home? Did you feel like, you know, people around you?
I'll tell you what, it was this way. Most people said, well, where have you been? I hadn't seen you lately. I said, well, I've been in the Army. Oh, okay.
That was
subtle.
Yeah, okay.
It was, we hadn't seen you lately, you know, where have you been? Hong Kong or, you know, what?
Yeah.
But no, not here in Fernandina. It was too small a town and everything. No animosity or anything like that. And he told me you were in the military. That was it. I mean, basically, they didn't, you know.
So did you come back to Fernandina?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's where I'm from. So, yeah.
Okay, so you came back here. What did you do? Did you go to work right away? Did you go back to school?
Let's see. I went to Chicago, Illinois. Okay. I had a friend of mine that lived there. Mm-hmm. So I went up there and stayed with him all summer.
Great.
Till October when it got cold, and I said, well, bye, I'm going back to Florida.
Gotcha.
So then I came back, and I started working.
Good. What'd you do for work?
First job I had was working in a restaurant.
Okay.
Assistant manager in a restaurant.
Great.
And then, you know, I started from there and then did different things.
Are you still working now or are you retired?
I'm retired.
You're retired now. And what do you do with your time now?
Well, of course, I volunteer here at the museum.
Okay.
Play golf.
Good.
Follow football.
Good.
All the good stuff.
You travel at all? Do you go anywhere?
Yes.
Where do you like to travel to?
I travel here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I've been overseas, so, I mean, I've traveled to London, Paris, some of those places, but now primarily here in the U.S.,
good.
Different cities in the U.S.
Good. Before we do conclude, is there anything that you'd like to add? Is there something we might have missed, a question I didn't ask? Or
not that I can think of.
Okay.
I mean, it's... I can't think of anything.
Great.
Later I probably will, but right now I can't. So.
Well, it's been an excellent interview. And on behalf of the Museum and the Library of Congress, we'd like to thank you very much, Charlie, for coming in. And this concludes the interview.
Okay, thank you.
Great job.